Personally, I hate the two-piece. I think it kind of creates like this small little, you know, conflict with the rules. There is a rule, you know, regarding pulling on clothing, so like headgear, or you know, pulling on a kid's like shoelaces or singlet. Like, your opponent will be awarded a point if you do that. And I feel like that's really the whole purpose of the singlet. You know, it's sleek, skin tight, so that nothing can really get caught. But once you add the factor of the fight shorts in, you know, arms will get caught. A kid on our team almost lost a match and a very important dual meet matchup for us, over 1 point scored for his hand getting caught on the kid's fight shorts.
Welcome to Castle Corner Podcast, and thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Tommy Castle. After a busy weekend of high school wrestling, I have with me two top five finishers in their respective weight classes from Franklin High, who competed at the All-State meet this past weekend, which actually happened at St. John's Prep in Danvers. The two wrestlers are Ian Bacalars and TJ Remillard. Franklin Wrestling, thanks so much for joining Castle Corner Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I hope I said your names right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm always worried about that. So if you have listened to this podcast before, you know I tend to mumble and stumble with names, and those two, they try their hardest, but luckily they kept their first name short. So anyway, for those of you who don't really know high school wrestling that well, there are 14 weight classes, and Ian wrestles at 120 pounds, and TJ wrestles at 132 pounds. After an exciting All-State meet for us here locally at the Daily News, where we had a couple first-place finishers, Ian finished in fifth, while TJ placed fourth. Not too bad, considering that this is out of everyone that can wrestle in the state of Massachusetts this weekend that qualified after sectionals and the state tournament, their respective state tournaments. So anyway, Ian, what did it mean to you not only to move on to your first ever All-State wrestling meet or event, but have a pretty good showing while advancing to New England's next weekend?
I really loved it. You know, I felt like last year, I felt like I almost kind of selling myself short. I felt like I'd put in so many hours, and I knew if I pushed myself a little bit harder in the off season, you know, that I'd be able to progress. And my goal was just to make it to All States, and now I'm placing and moving on to New England. So it's, you know, really better than I ever had originally hoped for.
Well, congratulations to you, and also now to TJ. You made All States last year, but like Ann said, what he did at States last season, you also went 1-2 at All States last year. So what was it like to advance to day two this year and then end up finishing fourth?
I just saw last year where all those kids were at, and I knew that if I worked hard enough in the off season that I could place at this tournament and make it to New England's. And that's been the goal from day one, and I'm really, really glad that I followed through and actually placed a little high.
Yeah, you both definitely placed high. Top five finishes is nothing to sneeze at for anyone at All States. So at All States, it was TJ and Ann, as well as teammate Jordan Carlucci. Now, is Jordan the older Carlucci?
Yeah, he is.
He's a senior like you guys?
Junior.
He's a junior,
yeah.
Okay. So those trios combined for a runner-up finish, Ian, at Division One state meet, and then a pair of fourth-place finishes between Jordan and TJ at States. So, Ian, you mentioned off the air that you've been wrestling against some of the same people in the 120-pound weight class this postseason. And in your final match at All States, you faced a kid from Brookline for the third time, I believe.
Yeah.
Does it get easier or harder when you face someone that you know and have wrestled against so much with a lot at stake at All States or sectionals or state championship meet?
I feel like that's really kind of like a two-sided argument, in the sense that, you know, a lot of wrestling is mental. You know, if you convince yourself you're not going to win a match, then you're more than likely not going to win the match. I've had matches before where, you know, I kind of wrestle scared. A kid's beaten me before, and, you know, I don't really give the match my all because I don't think I can do it. But another aspect of that is, you know, people say it all the time in the sport, it's always harder to beat a kid the second time because, you know, they know how you wrestle. They know what worked last time, what didn't work. You know, if they scored a couple points on you with a mean takedown, they know you can't defend it. They'll, you know, keep hitting you with it. They'll cut you, let you up, and take you right back down. But my fifth and sixth place match, I had wrestled Luke Albanese from Brookline for the third time this year. And we had wrestled the week prior in the semifinals at States. And this time was a lot closer. It was a very close match. I could tell he kind of changed his style up. He was staying low to the ground and really going for my legs. But, you know, prior he was, I feel like, a little bit more timid on his feet. And in the third period, I was up 4-2, and he came really close to taking me down, but I was able to snake my leg around and throw legs in and arch my back enough so that I could score two out and, you know, get a stalemate call, fresh start in the center. But once I got that last two, it kind of sealed the match. Like, you know, if he had taken me down, we would have gone into overtime, which is, you know, that's blood rounds. The people, you know, people crack in overtime, and, you know, it would have been a much closer match if he got that takedown.
Blood round?
Yeah, I mean, blood round is, you know, commonly referred to, like, the original rounds of a, or some of the first rounds of a tournament, where if you're bumped down to the consies and you lose, you're out.
The consolation rounds.
Yeah.
You lose, you don't place.
Yeah. Once you get past, like, I think it's the, once it's the round before the consi semis, you'll at least take eighth. Mm-hmm. But if you lose before that round, then you just walk away with no hardware, you know?
And luckily you both were able, not luckily, but you guys deserved it, but you both were able to walk away with some hardware this past weekend. In the consi semifinals for you, TJ, you had a pretty good match against the Division II state champion from Marlboro. Yeah. Take us through how you won that match and what it was like.
Oh, well, he's a tough kid on his feet, and I knew that going in. So I got the first takedown to start the match, although it was kind of in a scramble, and I lost two, like, right away almost, so it was 2-2. With about a minute left, and I ended up getting the escape point, so it was 3-2, and then we just hand fight at the end. I think he had a little blood time. So, but at the end of the first period, when it was all said and done, it was 3-2, but he did not know that, apparently he didn't know what I was about on top, so he picked bottom in the second period, and I do this tilt that I like, it's called the cutback, and he just didn't really have an answer for it, and I ended up just rolling him through and racking up points, and I ended up just beating him 17-2, tech fall in the second period. Felt real nice.
Yeah, one of your favorite matches of the season, probably?
Yeah, probably. He just didn't seem to have an answer for it, and it's almost one of those moves, once you lock the wrist in, it's really tough to break free, and I was just cranking on that wrist, rolling through, getting sets of three back points.
Well, it ended up in the fourth place finish for you. And a pretty remarkable season that we're going to talk about a little bit more for Franklin. Still going, but we're going to take a quick break here in Castle Corner. And when we get back, we'll tackle more of what was, like I said, a remarkable season for Franklin Wrestling.
This is Castle's Corner.
Back here on Castle's Corner with Franklin Sr., Ian Bacalars and TJ Remillard. They both recently competed at the All-State meet. Ian, talking about the entire season, which, like I said, isn't over yet, Franklin finished its regular season with a 24-0 record and were Division I dual meet state champions. Pretty impressive. You were also won your second straight Hockamock League championship. And to encapsulate that all together, how would you say the season went overall for Franklin Wrestling?
Incredible. Better than I could have ever hoped for. One thing that was really important to me was I actually talked to my dad this morning about how, you know, our team really stuck together. You know, we were, you know, we all had one heartbeat. We were all working together. And, you know, a lot of teams have a couple studs in their lineup, you know, kids that will reliably get six, but they're so much farther ahead than the bar that's set by the rest of their teammates. But I feel like on Franklin, like, we have a lot of depth to our team. In the sense that, you know, there's no scrubs, you know. Everyone can go out there and wrestle a tough match.
No superstars either.
Yeah, everyone. No superstars either. We were all in it together, and we still are. Even though me and TJ are the only ones moving on, our whole team is still in the practice room with us, you know, to help us stay sharp for New England's. But, we, up and down the lineup, I mean, like, we have a lot of freshmen, and they're really stepping up to the plate. And when we made it to the team state tournament for dual meets, we kind of just like steamrolled our way through the day consistently, back to back to back. Our Lawrence match was, I believe, we had like over a 50-point win.
Yeah.
And then our St. John's match, I actually had lost the St. John's 120 earlier on in the year, and I shut him out 15-0 in the state dual meet tournament. And like, I was so happy about that. You know, it really made me feel like the sense of progression, which is hard to see, you know, if you're, you know, if you're just like lifting weights or you're running, you know, you can get a faster time, you'll have bigger muscles. But like, when it comes to wrestling, the only really way, like the real way to check, you know, if you are improving or not is, you know, can you beat a kid that beat you earlier on? And I was so glad to see that. And even throughout the whole team, we really wrestled better than I've ever seen us wrestle.
Stepping up, like underclassmen, upperclassmen, everyone was just bonding together.
Our Chelmsford match, the first two kids in their lineup, the 6 and the 13, are both on the ranking boards, you know. And then once a kid is on the ranking boards, you know the name, and
yeah,
it can kind of psych you up.
6 points out of both of those kids.
And they got minors, you know, one of the freshmen, Jake Carlucci, and Kenny Sauer, a sophomore, really stepped up, you know. They didn't win the match, but they saved, you know, two team points, you know. Stops some momentum, too. There's so much momentum in a wrestling lineup. If one kid pins, you're going out there thinking, now I got a pin there, you know. If your teammate gets pinned, you go, now I can't get pinned. Or it's 'cause then the next kid will be like, oh, I can't get pinned.
Yeah.
So they really just, like, stop that momentum. And I feel like that's a big part of the Chelmsford team's dynamic. Like, those two getting pins early on sets the tone. But Jake and Kenny really digging their feet in and gutting one out for the team was a really defining moment for us that day, I think.
Yeah, I think that was one of your finer days of performances as a team. And like you said, you guys finished first in Division I Central and then advanced all 14 starters to the States for the first time in 20 years, I saw online. So like you said, that just hits the home that everyone was contributing, and it wasn't a team of just a couple superstars and a bunch of scrubs. It was 14 starters all going on to States for the mm-hmm. first time in 2 decades. So that's pretty amazing. TJ, speaking of the Central sectional meet, you won your respective weight class 132, yeah. while Ian and then Jordan Carlucci, who we've mentioned before, came in second in their weight classes. For you, TJ, what was it like to win an individual sectional title with also your team doing so well?
It was great for everyone to succeed that whole day. And I really knew I could do it. I'd wrestled that kid before, and he had beat me earlier last year, but then I had beaten him a couple times. But we had really just gone back and forth. I knew it was going to be a tough match, but I was just able to gut it out in the finals, and I was really happy to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure you get some nice hardware. You got a nice little medal for that one.
Yeah.
Put that up on the bedroom
nice,
wall.
Nice bracket.
Yeah. The bracket, those are always cool too. You take those home?
Yeah.
Yeah. For brackets, they have about, you know, big cardboard cutout size for people at home that can't picture this, and you know, have all the lines and names on it, advancing or not advancing, and mm-hmm. your name is the last one on the last line.
Yeah.
So it's always cool to have that, I'm sure, as a memento. Breaking away from maybe the season now and talking about wrestling in general, Ian, one hot button topic that's been discussed involving high school wrestling this year primarily has been the introduction of a two-piece outfit featuring loose kind of fighter shorts for those kind of trying to picture at home, and also a compression shirt, giving wrestlers the choice of a different outfit over just the normal singlet, which is a little tight and revealing. So that's one of the reasons why people are trying to bring this new two-piece outfit, is to try to attract more participation in wrestling and make people dive into the sport that are maybe a little self-conscious or don't like the comfort of a singlet. So anyway, before getting too long-winded, what are your thoughts on this new outfit option and what it means for wrestling?
Personally, I hate the two-piece. I think it kind of creates like this small little, conflict with the rules. There is a rule, regarding pulling on clothing. So like headgear or, you know, pulling on a kid's like shoelaces or his singlet. Like your opponent will be awarded a point if you do that. And I feel like that's really the whole purpose of the singlet. You know, it's sleek, skin tight, so that nothing can really get caught. But once you add the factor of the fight shorts in, you know, arms will get caught. A kid on our team almost lost a match in a very important dual meet matchup for us, over 1 point scored for his hand getting caught on the kid's fight shorts. So, you know, I feel like maybe I'm a little bit biased because of that. I just kind of seen it firsthand. But I don't know. I really just think that when you keep it, you know, for years and years and years, you know, people wear singlets, you know. The generation before us wore them, the generation before them all wore them. So I feel like changing it up is, I don't know, a little bit too, I don't know, lackadaisical? Like a
it's not functional.
Yeah, yeah. It is a fashion over function thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talked a little off air, and I've talked to a couple wrestling coaches this year for articles saying that, hey, we want to get participation numbers up. Hey, we want people to, we don't want wrestling to wither out, but are we just going about this the wrong way? So, hey, they try it out, and we'll see how it goes. But another kind of topic that comes up with wrestling each year, and this is away from just this year, but for each year, it's avoiding ringworm and the cauliflower ear.
Yeah.
Now, cauliflower ear, if you want to picture it, pretty much how it sounds. Pretty gross looking.
Ears get all puffed up.
Yeah, it's not the
painful.
Best look.
Yeah, yeah.
And then ringworm is, and I confirmed with these two, is kind of a red ring that will form on your body that can be very, very itchy and
yep.
pretty miserable for
yep.
whoever has
contagious,
it.
Contagious, yep.
And contagious. So, TJ, have you ever had any of those two kind of wrestling?
No, I've stayed away from cauliflower ear at least. But yes, I have got ringworm a couple times. You just got to put the cream on it, and it's like you just got to cover it up and stuff. Stay away from the mat for a couple days. But it's just one of those things. It's like why we shower. We shower right after practice to stay clean. Just like one of those things. You don't want to get that during the season. It'll just slow you up, slow everyone up.
How do you go about like cleaning the mats? Do you guys put a little
yeah, we have like the
Lysol down
big,
there?
Yeah, big disinfectant thing, big mop. And our coach just like washes it before every couple practices or so.
And how do you go about avoiding cauliflower ear? Like, to explain for those of people that might not know wrestling that well how you can avoid it and why mm-hmm. some people might want it.
Yeah, basically you just get cauliflower ear from like constant rubbing or friction, like getting a forehead to the ear, mat, rubbing it against it constantly. And just the best way to avoid it is just simply wear your headgear. Honestly, that's why I just wear it. I don't want huge ears the rest of my life just from wrestling in high school, you know. Some people like to wear it as a badge of honor, but I never really bought into that.
Yeah, I'm more in your camp if I was in your shoes. So
just wear the headgear, honestly.
Yeah.
Not that hard.
Yeah. One last yearly topic that we'll discuss with wrestling is having or the need to make weight. Now, obviously, with the 14 weight classes, there's some wiggle room for these wrestlers, but the lighter you are, the better it could be for your individual wrestling purposes. I guess the easiest way to explain it. So I've now come to learn that there is a, quote, growth allowance, unquote, every January, allowing wrestlers to weigh in 2 pounds heavier than in December. And then these two wrestlers now heading to New England's, they are allowed to even to add 2 more pounds on. So 120 to 124 for Ian and 132 to 136 for TJ. So, Ian, I know that it was kind of long-winded, and I was trying to help explain people that this weight thing is a big issue for wrestling, making weight. If you don't make weight, you know, can you tell us the consequences of what happens when you weigh in, and how maybe some of the pluses and minuses, if there are any pluses of making weight, and what some of the minuses might be?
I'm actually really glad you asked me. There's kind of an ongoing joke on the team about how in sophomore year we were going to a huge tournament in Lowell called the Lowell Holiday Tournament, the George Bossy Lowell Holiday Tournament. You know, there's like 80 teams. And the when I was a sophomore, the first year I was going, I missed weight by 0.4, and my coach was furious.
0.4 pounds?
0.4 pounds.
Ugh.
And, you know, if you're over, you're over. They don't care how close you are. You can be 0.1, and they won't let you wrestle.
Can you just go and, like, maybe go to the bathroom for a little while and then come back and re-weigh? Or is it one way only?
You actually are not allowed to leave. If there's multiple scales for a weigh-in, they'll let you step off and be check on another scale. You know, sometimes there's, like, a point. Sometimes you get, like,
minor discrepancies.
Yeah, there's, like, very, very small differences, like 0.1 or 0.2. If you're like 0.2 over, they're like, check on that scale, and sometimes you'll make it.
Can you also like disregard like everything, I don't know, clothing? Like, could you like, if you're that desperate?
I think you can.
Make you wear compression shorts.
Yeah, now I think you have to wear underwear. I'm pretty sure at one point you could just go for it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Back in the day,
but 0.02 could be 0.02.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, man, if you want to wrestle that bad, go for it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I, you know, it's kind of bound to the stands all day. Which is, you know, kind of lame.
Yeah, kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, well, it was really embarrassing. All my friends were wrestling out there, you know, having great matches, and I was like, oh, this is great. I'm stuck here for 12 hours,
yeah,
not wrestling.
You're a full-time cheerleader.
Yeah.
So that's one point of it all, so thanks for sharing that story. But, like, can you tell us, maybe TJ, I'll bring this to you, and then Ian, you can finish up, but, like, how do you go about losing weight or making weight and, like, staying there? Because, like you said, you could probably be 10 to 15 pounds heavier than you are probably right now, right? If you just ate whatever you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, when you fill up on water, like if you have like 3 water bottles, you don't, no one normally realizes that's 3 pounds. So like your weight's going to fluctuate a lot during the season. And just, I just like to drink a lot of water because I know I can sweat that off easy and cut out food, just replace food with water, honestly, the day before. And
the day before is what, Fridays you weigh in?
Yeah, so All States was Friday, yeah, and like the state tournaments are always Friday. But normally during the season it was Wednesdays and Saturdays that we had to make weight.
And so those are days of your matches. So you make weight the day of your match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we would do is we would weigh in the morning, and if you make scratch, then you get +3 at night. So I would weigh 134 in the morning, and then I would get 3 more pounds at night. It would be 137.
Do you re-weigh at night?
Yeah. Yeah, you 2 weigh-ins.
So you weigh in, so you go to school early in the morning, and your coach weighs you in.
Like exactly.
An hour early.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go to your match, and then does the other coach weigh you in? Like, what are the checks and balances of this?
So our coach and the other team's coach, they it's just like a loyalty thing.
It's like an honor system.
Yeah, okay. Honor system.
Ever been challenged?
Yeah. Yes, actually.
Yeah.
One time in the morning,
we all did make weight, but our coach like forgot to write everyone's weight down. He left his clipboard at home, and he just like when we showed up, he was like, "Yeah, they all made weight." And the dude was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, you don't have any numbers?" And we were like, "Yeah, like we're all. I think we even like might have all been at scratch that night anyway." But, we've had a challenge before. I mean, like sometimes you'll see someone show up, and it's like, "Oh wow, all 14 kids on your team were exactly at their weight, like no deviation at all, like." Sometimes you know, some things raise an eyebrow, but I feel like everyone's pretty good on it. I mean, like, even personally, like, if I found out the kid I'm wrestling didn't make it in the morning, but he's the same weight as me at night, like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I feel like how much they weighed, you know, 6 hours ago doesn't make too much of an impact on what they weigh now.
I just find it kind of interesting. That's the whole process. Like, it's like a little bit more work, like, as opposed to like a basketball player or even any other sport. No one else is having to be a certain size to play their sport, and this is the one
sport.
It's
just like with wrestling, you're always a wrestler. You're just constantly reminded because sometimes you're just constantly hungry.
Yeah, so I was going to say Wednesdays and Saturdays are probably days when your stomach is just growling.
Yeah.
Like nonstop. I can imagine Wednesday at school
before,
is pretty bad.
Before weigh-ins, yeah. Oh, well, Wednesdays aren't too bad because we get those 3 pounds to gain. But it's like it's almost like the Tuesdays and the Fridays are the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst. The night before away.
The night before away.
So you guys are cranky and hangry on Friday night. So you probably aren't that much fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
With your friends on Fridays.
On Friday night, always complaining about that. Friends are like, geez, I can't wait for wrestling season.
Yeah, they probably don't like hang out with you guys in the winter. All right, so we kind of glossed over a bunch of wrestling things, and I'm glad we got that. So, but let's get away from wrestling real quick and get to know a little bit more about Ian and TJ when we get back from this quick break.
This is Castle's Corner.
Back here on Castle's Corner. Guys, we've talked all wrestling so far. And let's talk a little bit about your life and you guys off the mat. So, TJ, you're about to embark on, and I'm going to say I'm pretty jealous of where you're going, but you're going to go on a solo flight across the country to Utah, where you will meet your cousins who are from Hawaii, which is really cool, too. And you've been able to visit them there. Mm-hmm. You're going to go on a snowboarding adventure in Park City, Utah. So, one, how do you get your parents to let you go there by yourself? And two, tell us a little bit about the trip in general.
Yeah, I really just wanted to go on a trip somewhere after the wrestling season. So I just asked my parents for Christmas if they could let me go snowboarding out west. And it just so happened that my cousins were going to Park City. So they said they can get me a ticket to go out to meet them. So really excited about that.
That's a nice Christmas present. Your cousins share the same last name as you?
Yep, Remillard.
So the Remillards, and no parents there either?
Oh, no, my aunt and uncle are there, too.
Okay, I was going to say, that'd be kind of a wild time for all you guys going out. They're all relatively close to your age?
Mm-hmm. They are, my cousins just graduated, well, we have a senior in college and someone who just graduated college, so just a little older.
Okay, must be fun for you and everybody. And, so that's cool. I'm a really bad snowboarder and skier, as my friends will attest to. Actually, none of them really see me do it because I just don't really do it. A lot of pizza making, a lot of French fries, and a lot of falls and bruises. But anyway, getting away from my skiing, Ian, you mentioned before we got on air that you had a pretty good idea of what you want to do over the next 4 years when it comes to college. Can you tell us what that is and how you got interested maybe in it in the first place?
Yeah, sure. So I'm planning on going to college and majoring in audio design, technical theater. What that really means is kind of like, you know, the process of going through and, you know, doing all of the, it's a lot of behind the scene work, but for like movies, plays, you know, live productions, concerts, things like that. You know, working with audio levels, deciding, you know, what audio goes best in which place for, you know, the background of a movie. And it's something I'm really interested in. It kind of gets overlooked a lot because, you know all the director names, you know, Scorsese, Tarantino, and stuff like that. But, you know, you don't know any good audio designers, really. You know, that's not stuff that's in the mainstream. But, you know, I don't really want to do it, like, to get, like, discovered or anything. I just want to do it because it's something that's always interested me. My freshman year, we had a brand new auditorium with like a ton of new sound equipment. No one really knew how to use it. So the our audio engineering teacher at the time, Matt Wall, trained me to use it all. We had like a couple private training days where some people from the company that made the soundboard came in. They taught me how to use it, and I've kind of just been stuck with it. I was the only one that knew how to do it, so I couldn't quit. And here I am 4 years later applying to college and, you know, finding out that that's my passion.
That's kind of cool. I couldn't quit.
Yeah, they needed me.
It was funny. I'm sorry. I couldn't even. My stomach is growling. I'm so hungry. I'm just thinking about what you guys have to deal with every Tuesday and Friday. I'm starving right now. But TJ, I could probably go for one of these, but you're probably the best first name of anyone I've known or will know.
Thank you.
Even though you go by TJ for some reason. But I hear you have this nickname that I could use right now as an estate that just won't leave your side. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and how it maybe originated?
My dad has always called me T-Bone, and he's not afraid to yell it at wrestling tournaments, that's for sure. So all the wrestling buddies caught on, and they yell T-Bone when I'm on the podium and everything.
Is that embarrassing?
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, honestly, I just accept it.
There's no other T-Bones like that look his way too. You're the only T-Bone.
Yeah, I guess
like
so.
Three kids on the podium. Yeah, and T-Bone.
Yep.
I think I told you guys before we got on air, but I used to have a gym teacher call me T-Bone, and I worked at Wegmans for a little bit, and the store manager would call me T-Bone, and I never told him to call me that, and I don't know why he did, but I don't think he can remember my name, so I think it was just he called me T-Bone because that's the thing he can remember. But I never was winning any wrestling tournaments or on any podiums, so I'm glad that you guys give you a hard time about that. And I don't know if anyone gives you a hard time about this, Ian, but I think it's pretty awesome. I think you're the first person I ever met that can claim they are a certified bird seed specialist. So I'm going to say that one more time. A certified bird seed specialist. First off, how does one go about getting a certificate and for that? And do you maybe hang that certificate in your bedroom just like a wrestling bracket or medal? And what do you do with it?
So I work for a bird feed supply store. It's called Wild Birds Unlimited. It's in Franklin.
Wild Birds Unlimited. Don't forget to get that plug in there.
And, you know, but well, you know, when I signed up, you know, it looked like a cool job. I had to go in there one day to, you know, get a present for my mom or something. And I was like, man, this place is so cool. They had birds, like bird chirping, playing, and they had like a live feed of a bird feeder. And I was like, I can get used to this. Like, I was like, can I get an application? So when I got the job, you know, you go through training. They teach you, you know, how to use the register and like talking to customers, things like that. And then I had to spend an entire day doing this like a certification course. I had to watch all these videos, take tests. I had to like get a passing grade, like to prove that like I was really understanding the concepts. And then now I have a little name tag that says, "Hi, my name is Ian, certified birdseed specialist." It's pretty cool. It's a good conversation point.
Yeah.
But I would be lying if I said I didn't put it on my college resume. it's really something special. You know, that's something that I'm going to carry with me forever, I guess. But it's pretty cool getting to, you know, see all these people come in and, you know, they're so excited to show you a picture of, you know, the baby bluebirds in their backyard or something like that. People get so into bird feeding. And like,
what's your favorite kind of bird?
I'm going to say Pine Grosbeak. They live up in Canada. I saw them on the live stream one day, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Looked it up in a little bird book and found it out.
There you go. Is it pine what?
Pine Grosbeak.
Okay. Not your average sparrow?
No. No.
Yeah, that was probably very boring for you. At least I know who to go to now if I have buy a bird feeder in the future and want a little of that good blend, you know?
Yeah, I'll give you a good suggestion.
Okay, good. Well, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming in, talking a little bit about wrestling and things other than wrestling for you two. I want to wish you both good luck. You're not done yet, so you still got to make weight, and you still can't go to Park City, Utah, or go to your full-time, part-time job. So good luck this upcoming weekend in New England, and thanks for joining Castle Corner Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
I also want to thank my producer, Kaylin Kelleher, as well for all of her work behind the scenes. You can follow me on Twitter at TommyCastle44, and you can follow our Metro West Sports Twitter account at Metro West Sports, and you can also follow us on Instagram at Metro West Sports as well. You can subscribe to Castle Corner Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you subscribe to podcasts, while also checking in every Wednesday for a new Castle's Corner Podcast. Thanks again for joining me here on Castle's Corner Podcast. Until next time, I'm Tommy Castle, and thanks for checking in.